Hi, this is Tony Mowbray, and you're listening to Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast.
Yes, well, I was tempted to actually say, it is what it is. I won't. But I will say, it's mathematically possible. Oh, best not say that either, really. No. Rob Nichols, editor-in-chief of Fly Me to the Moon. It's the podcast companion to issue 527, the pre-awards issue. I should say it's pre-awards issue. And yes, it's going to be an upbeat number, yes. But that's, you know, not as upbeat as we might have anticipated a few weeks back. But
no.
Nevertheless, you know.
We thought it could have been like a thrilling climax to the season, but maybe not.
Exactly. Still on the plus side, thank the Lord that the folk at the Stadium of Light are giving us something to smile at.
Oh, so, that's, you know, very true.
Good news from there.
That's very true.
They might join us next season. It's still feasible that a derby could be actually on there.
Could be.
And obviously Brian McDermott has taken over that other place, really, so it's an extraordinary line to work through. All right, in this particular edition, it is the end of season poll for 2012-13, but we've got a lot of, I think, more reflective, quite considered comments on managers from Mike Baker, or changing managers. Claire Bowdler will also be sharing her views on 2013 being a year to forget from that point of view. We have that main man, Andrew Glover, Glover, talking about the day he actually met the Messiah. It was Steve Gibson. That's a line from thence. And, of course, Chris Bartley, I think, was opening up a very reflective thing. I hadn't realised, obviously, Chris Bartley, the Rob Nichols chauffeur to away games, clearly, with Chris and Master Barkley on the base. I'm not going to talk about the last game, but let's look at the couple of away games that have been down the line. I mean, the last home game, of course, being the startlingly wonderful Peterborough result. It was still sort of tangible there, and one got a sense when listening to the players, the Jonathan Woodgates and the Grant Leadbitters and
cricket players,
that actually they still, they didn't understand what the problem was, but there was still certainly the passion that was actually there to put it right.
Yes.
Somehow it just hasn't quite manifested in terms of, obviously, the results game.
No, it's very much a case of you get this sort of forward momentum, or you get a backward momentum, and you get either way, it's quite hard to get out of it. It's ridiculous to say this, but at the start of the season, I was talking to Adam Reach this week, and he was saying the start of the reason the season, he or Luke Williams, young lads, would pick up the ball and shy at goal from 30 yards, and it would fly into the top corner, whereas that's what happens in those periods. Everything you go for.
Much like Aguero scored against United in the early part of the week, really. You know? Very good. Nice to see the big result. Anyway.
Okay. But at this stage of the season, where things start to go against you, you're actually scared of shooting, actually. There's a fear factor about hitting those 80-yard passes or whatever, because you think twice. It could go awfully wrong, and the crowd gets on you. One of the mysterious things for me is the fact that we did actually beat Leeds and we did beat Cardiff, and you thought we'd come out of the rot had stopped, only for it to start again.
I mean, this is the point. We look at the Wolves game and 3-2.
Very tight game, very close game, exactly. Really exciting game.
I was going to say one for the neutral, as people would actually say, working through on that line. Wolves, clearly they dropped down last season. I mean, it's not as though
fighting for the lives, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. 21,000, I think it was the crowd as well, which is interesting.
Mm. Yeah. So, but you know, that was a case where Leadbitter, I think, probably goal of the season one might was, though, from all accounts. Was that?
Yeah, he scored, and he obviously scored two goals in that game.
Yeah.
And I think, no, it's interesting that those two players should come out and say so as much as they did, Leadbitter and Woodgate, because obviously one of the big problems has been the fact that we haven't been able to keep Woodgate on the pitch. In fact, he was ill at half time at Hull and had to go off. So
many of the fans, Jonathan. Sorry, it's all right.
But I think it's a point that Claire goes on to make. Yeah. The number of back four formations we've had, and that from the back four, the only ever present is Jason Steele, and that's got to be disruptive. The fact that that there's been so many injuries there. Williams, of course, was out for most of the season. When he came back, he wasn't himself for quite some time. Woodgate's been in and out. Hoyt's had injuries. Parnham, came in as replacement, got injured, and George Friends had a couple of hamstring injuries, and so that that hasn't helped, has it? You base yourself on your defence.
Jason Steele, Josh McEachran, of course. McEachran on loan, but being colleagues in the England under 21 setup,
yeah.
And doing quite reasonably well for that side of things. You're quite right. Claire does actually sort of conclude her piece with the notion that the club are taking on board fans' feedback and certainly doing everything right off the pitch. They just need to get it right on the pitch. We come back to that classic line, and I'm not, it obviously, because partly we start off with the Monsieur Mowbray doing his stuff and all the rest of that. He's the right person for that. But I did think a little a few weeks ago that he perhaps needs to take on board somebody who can deal with that mental attitude. We hear so much in athletics and in any sporting routine. Yeah. It's that sort of final mental 5%, 2%, that's the critical thing between winning and losing. And I know that Tony is not one, or never seems to be one, that actually would look after a psychologist or any from that point of view. McLaren obviously was.
Yeah, going back to
the other extreme.
Yeah.
But I'm just thinking, is it something like that in terms of the self-belief? You've said about the frighten nature, the fear factor. Is it something as simple as the fear factor? Does that sort of impact in terms of the actual on-field displays of youngsters who, as you say, were doing extremely well in the early part of the season? They've been obviously moved in, moved out, changed around, etc. There is this notion of, is it going to work, is it not going to work?
Yeah.
And then one mistake occurs and it's gone again, basically.
Well, that's certainly what Adam Reach said to me this week, which was interesting to hear him say. You know, quite, he's a mature lad for his age, because he decided to do his studying as much as playing football before he joined Middlesbrough, so he obviously clearly thinks about things. But, well, do we bring in somebody new? Well,
I'm not saying somebody new, I'm thinking about somebody to actually support the team, to actually
he's certainly very aware of the psychology and talks about how he prefers to keep that in-house. And he's certainly constantly thinking about what he says to players, how he motivates players. They work in different ways as a team with a coach. The coach might put his arm around a player and say, don't worry about this. And then they might work off each other.
So it was working
at the start of the season, but it's not now.
And there's the flip side. There's the hand grenade management, which Mr. DeCanio is usually known from, which is another set of, which is curious because clearly he replaced a manager in Martin O'Neill, who one would have said actually was pretty good at that. But then the general discourse is, well, actually it wasn't so much Martin O'Neill as John Robertson. And I'm thinking Mark Venus is it's just a line that we need to maybe consider.
Yeah.
We will be talking about managerial changes with Mike Baker and, of course, the season poll and more goodies, including a reminder of where you can actually get hold of the collector's editions that are the wonderful mint condition versions of the Fly Me to the Moon programs themselves. All this and more after this.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
Strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium.
Hang on. Slow down. And one tablespoon.
Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if you would like a more simple solution, then you can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right.
Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989. Or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondence from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Thank you. Okay, we almost had the Ali Brownie piece there, but of course he does appear in the current edition of Fly Me to the Moon, issue 527, in which we have the words, Russell, Russell, Russell. No, he actually had more sort of concise words than that, but it was actually a quote I was going to take out of the context and say this to me actually summed up the quintessential literature of the whole piece, which is Midget Gem of Fruit Pastel. Referring, of course, to Craig Hignett there, whole thing by Esteban in one of his Ali and Higgy's The Borough Aren't Rubbish Hours. All right, moving on to the thoughts on managers, as put together by, I thought, very considered Mike Baker piece. Welcome to the Cheap Seats, the column, Sack the Manager, classic solution when faced with a horrific downturn in form. Let's just run through these. Blackburn, of course, in September. Steve Keane resigned. When they actually were pretty close to the top, really. I mean, they
were top until there was a beat then.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then he was sacked the next
day. Through there. They appointed Henning Berg, and Berg presided over a drop in league form, led Rovers from the playoffs to 17th of the table. Result? Bad. Bolton, of course, who sacked Owen Coyle, who's doubtless going to be waiting to see how long Paolo Di Canio lasts in these days, various other things. He was sacked in October. Doogie Friedman came on board with a good result. Ipswich, Paul Jewell left by mutual consent. Mick McCarthy came on board, and it seems as though that's a good result overall. I mean, I think they're probably safe from relegation.
Yeah.
I suppose it's mathematically possible.
They both took a while, Doogie Friedman and Mick McCarthy, to get things going. I mean, that's got to be said. That when you think about late changes, managers can sometimes take a while to...
Exactly. Nottingham Forest sacked Sean O'Driscoll in December, which again I thought was an interesting one, because O'Driscoll, he's good sort of player. So appointed Alex McLeish, very strange.
And of course,
and he's left by mutual consent, and they appointed Billy Davis, and that has gone from being a bad result to a good result.
Yeah.
They acted very quickly on that particular aspect. It depends whether Billy Davis will be able to succeed in what looks highly likely as Forest actually probably going to be playoff oriented, I would have thought, in that side of things. Barnsley, of course, sacked Keith Hill, appointed David Flitcroft.
His assistant.
Flitcroft, yes, exactly. That's a good line from that. Wolves, yes, well, there we are. Sacked Stale Salbakken after, of course, having their excitements with Terry O'Connor last year. And I think appointed Dean Saunders, which I thought would probably be, well, it's the same, I think, actually, and no change in many ways.
He's just picked up recently, hasn't he? But
sadly, against the Borough, really. Because I think had that gone the other way, again, morale and all the rest of of it, so it's going to be a different line. Bristol City took on board Sean O'Driscoll, of course, and remained the same after sacking Derek McInnes.
Yeah.
Huddersfield, Simon Grayson going, Mark Robbins appointed. Not a good result as far as Huddersfield are concerned, although I think they might still be hanging in there in various shape or forms. Blackpool, once again, sacked Michael Appleton. Didn't really ask him. Maybe he shouldn't have ever have left Blackpool, really.
No, it says a lot for Blackpool, I'm afraid.
Exactly. Appointed Gary Boyer as caretaker, and, they could well go down, really.
Right, it's a crazy club.
Exactly. And, of course, our friends of TYG, of course, Jericho Keyes' team, Leeds United, Neil Warnock, in the end, decided to resign via BBC Local Radio, we would see. And Neil Redfern is the caretaker manager, with, I think, Brian McDermott in the position to effectively sort of pick up the role, or it's the rumour, the last rumours I heard was it was going to be a Brian McDermott.
Yes, that big club.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, there we are.
Whether the board will still be there, of course.
Let's take the group. Let's move on to Andrew Glover, as obviously the line's coming through in every day. So you see, obviously they're sorted through, just done and dusted. Andrew Glover, who can be caught in a kind of virtual world by going to blogairsomegates.wordpress.com. I'll say that again, because it is Andrew Glover. blogairsomegates.wordpress.com. He met, as we say, the Messiah, otherwise known as Steve Gibson, and also refers to Simon Barnes's item in the Times with a headline, "Football Matters Far More Than Just Football." I wasn't quite sure about one of Andrew's lines, in which we actually had a line about, I wonder what the Americans, Saudis, Malaysians and... There we are, he's on again. The God knows wheres that now own clubs around the UK would have made of the evening with Steve Gibson. Saudis, I mean, the only Saudis I can recall who's actually doing good stuff are based at the Etihad, and, you know, sensational.
Do they have a lot of consultations with supporters at Manchester City?
We do, actually, yes. Yeah, right. I will say that, and there's a lot of good sort of work for that point of view. Although I think there are a couple of other Saudi areas that are involved with setups for that. Is Steve Gibson the last in a dying breed of local business operatives made good who have a passion for their club, very much in the same way as Jack Walker, of course, did for Blackburn?
Yeah, yeah, yes.
And worked through
that. Left it in a trust.
Exactly. Is that the sort of system? Because one hears again the voice on local radio, various other things, of the fans turning around and saying, "Oh, it's Steve Gibson gets up in his pocket." Well, yeah, I mean, he is putting into his pocket and taking significant sums out of his pocket, really. So,
There are a lot of battles ahead, and of course, with the fair play rules coming in the Championship next season, are threatened by the Premiership's parachute payments, which they are jacking up and up, which could divide the Championship into two tables of those that have come down last. If it's stretched for three seasons, the teams that come down have a major financial advantage over the rest.
We're looking at, I mean, obviously, we're likely to see QPR and Reading next season.
Yeah.
Hopefully Sunderland. Oh, did I say that? it's Sunderland, Wigan, or Villa.
Absolutely. If they've managed to get their financial ships in order before going down, then they've got a big adventure.
QPR? Financial ship in order?
I'm just going to say that the teams that came down this season certainly didn't.
Exactly.
And looking at Reading, the way that they changed their manager recently. Suggests that they haven't either. They've not learned the lessons from the past under Majeski. So, it is looking like Steve Gibson is the end of an era in a way. But I wonder, because if we look at clubs like Leicester, who could fall short this season, clubs that have got like big foreign investment in there, if they're suddenly restrained by fair play and what they're allowed to put into a club, will they be as interested anymore? Mm. Will it be if they see it? If they cannot influence in the same way their team going up into the Premier League, which is what they're there for, will we see a turnaround in maybe different people being involved in running football clubs? Will we see more fans trusts running clubs as well?
It's a question to be considered and pondered on. We are magnanimous here in the podcast producing base for Flying to the Moon. We don't necessarily say other podcasts are not available. We give a little name check to the Offside Rule, which is a podcast that actually is run by women for women, with Kate Borsey, Lindsay Hooper and Hayley McQueen. That's the Offside Rule.
It's really good.
I wonder, Rob, if they will mention the Flying to the Moon, the podcast.
They said they might.
Well, I've thrown it out there, haven't I?
Yeah.
I've thrown it out there. We've gone first. You can follow them on Twitter at Offside Real Pod. You can follow us at Twitter at Southside Broad Sea.
Healy started on Borough TV, of course, with her father, Gordon McQueen.
Yes, well, yeah. Well, then she should come in and co-present.
Yes.
We don't ban people from a different gender on this show.
No, if she's got a day off from Sky.
Exactly. We have the in and out end of the stadium revamp for 2013. That's the Mowbray in end and the Mowbray out end. And obviously, both sides of the room. So hopefully when the goals are being scored, you won't see those huge empty swathes of stands, etc. being sawed through there. And we have to scoot on because time is getting into the Fly to the Moon end of season poll 2012-13. Player of the season. Just suggestions here, Rob. I mean, I would go for Grant Ledbetter or Jason Steele. One of those two.
Yeah. Jason Steele, myself, probably.
Okay.
But yeah, Grant Ledbetter. Absolutely.
Young player of the season, I'm probably thinking Adam Reach.
Yes, Reach. Or it depends where the age thing is. Could be Steele again.
Very true. Best game of the season, beating Cardiff, possibly?
Yeah, it should have been the revamp of the season. Oh, I think we had a couple of great games at Christmas time as well, with Blackpool and Blackburn.
Worst game of the season? We could pick any from this year, apart from, I suppose, the year. Or is it the Palace defeat? Is it the sort of the four?
Yeah, there's a few from 2013, Ipswich as well.
Mm. Worst goal conceded? Well, any set piece, really. Set pieces unite. Where's that? Oh, it's in the net. Yeah. Oh, never mind. Signing of the season?
Well, maybe Grant Ledbetter.
Sammy Amiobi? Not really signing loan player, really. So,
I think I think Grant Ledbetter because he was a free transfer. Yeah.
Who should we never have let go this season?
Well, some people thought we should have re-signed Barry Robson, didn't they? So you could say Barry Robson because we let him go at the end of last year.
I'll leave it to the girls on the F side or offside reel to talk about best looking player and ugliest player. I think they'll have lines for that. But likewise, best haircut, worst haircut, you know it always ups.
Well, it's very competitive actually because Rhys Williams is a bit worried apparently that George Friend is picking up plaudits on this.
He could be a good shout for young player of the season, George Friend, of course.
Yeah.
There's a line for that. So he has the pace, or even maybe signing of the season.
Maybe we can get George Friend on here because he's actually doing his work experience at BBC.
Well, I think then the what better way? I mean, he gets his training at the BBC and joins a proper station.
Yeah.
Nice to see that we also, in terms of effort put in, we mentioned George Friend. We could also probably give a little mention to the... Jonathan Woodgate, best haircut. I don't know. So I think
there's a few of those nice haircuts.
Favorite player of all time, constantly changing. I still probably say Stuart Bohm this year. You know.
Oh, that's a nice one. Yeah. Back to the centre.
Exactly. Centre half.
No nonsense. Centre half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And best team that Borough have played this season. Anybody stand out? Because last season we were pretty much...
We're not going to say Chelsea.
Exactly. No, I think it was last season it was Reading, I believe. I think we're up
there. The
season before that was Swansea that were actually sort of in from
the point of view. Yeah. I wouldn't say Cardiff, definitely, in either game, which is we beat them in once, and there we were unlucky.
Yeah. Quite rightly, people ask how many home games we've been to, how many away games we've been to. Few words to summarise feelings on Borough's season. Presumably we'll have a little, no Anglo-Saxon words here, please.
Yeah. I think Season of Two Halves is
sounds like a book or a play or a possible book by Kadeem Hussein to actually be developed. Yeah. Is Tony Mowbray still the manager to take this club forward? Yes, but I think if you listen to for all these at the BBC, a lot of negativity there.
Yeah.
A lot of negativity. Likewise, happy, unhappy with season ticket prices, and that's a new one, which is do you have a favourite 5 million issue, article, or podcast this season? And of course, you can listen again to all the podcasts by going to either the Flying to the Moon site or the southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Yes, and please do.
Exactly. Go back a few years as well, entertain yourself in every sense of the word from that point of view. How can people get hold of copies of Fly Me to the Moon? Which parts of Middlesbrough can they go to? Or in Eston, actually, because you can go to Eston as well from that point of view, if they wish to actually purchase them, during the week or sometime.
Yes, I'm actually off to Eston now to go and stick them in Finlay's shop in Eston Square. You can get them from Kadeem's Borough Bookworm, the Forbes Buildings, or Borough Programmes has all the back issues as well, which is 58 Parliament Road, and it's a great place for all the memorabilia. Apart from that, around the ground, or just contact me at robshrug@gmail.com.
Do you know, we've actually gone through this with scant mention to either Brighton and Hove Albion.
Nottingham Forest.
Mm. Shall we do that now then?
We better mention the fact that we thought we were going to be going head to head with two of our adversaries for the playoffs.
Gus Poyet.
Yeah.
And as we said,
Billy Davis.
Exactly. Yes.
But it looks really as if our sort of role in this is to put a spoke in their promotion wheel. It would be really good to actually get a couple of home wins.
I'll throw this out, you know, on the basis that 8 wins were in the Premiership. That's all you need. 8 wins. 5 wins, get to the playoffs. 2 wins in the playoffs, win at Wembley.
Oh, I see.
So, 8 wins. In the Premiership. You'd have to rearrange your holiday, you know.
That's all you need to do. Just keep winning.
It's quite simple. And how do we do that? How do we actually focus on that? What 7 words do we actually use to close Fly Me to the Moon, issue 527's podcast companion for Brighton and Hove Albion? How do they actually start off with the first of those 8 consecutive wins?
Come on, Borough. And up the Borough.